Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
In the wild is the preservation of the world. We hear it every day as we see our earth and the lovely creatures and all this creation of life and beauty fall into the dream of progress. In wild is the preservation of the world was written 150 years ago by a man who many feel embodies the heart chakra of America. Henry David Thoreau, it's his birthday, and we now travel to Walden Pond when we return here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Thoreau. Singular. Transcendent. And to me personally, life is complex. For those of us who take the time to wonder, it occurs to us to consider, what is this? Where did I come from? When I die, what happens? I'm a scientifically oriented critical realist with a serious romantic twist. And so I must say at times, I really don't know. I wonder about spirit, literally, having been raised a Christian, but it could be almost any religion on the planet. I'm told that spirit exists, and that my spirit will live on. I used to say I wasn't sure, but now I know, and Henry David Thoreau unlocked that mystery for me. You see, when I was born, I hit the earth with spirit wide open. I found amazing and wonderful things everywhere. I spent all my time exploring and listening and looking, and I was amazed. And I came to understand, however, that not everyone felt like I did. So my sense of wonder got stuck into a sacred box for protection, and I conformed to a more dispirited way. But in the seventh grade, I was lucky to have to read about ant wars that Henry David Thoreau had written. And suddenly, it was like a hand reached over, unlocked my sacred box, took my hand and said, "Come with me. You can live in my cabin." And my spirit has resided there ever since. And I came to know that it was not his words, it was his spirit that came through his words that touched me. And so I live that my spirit too may live on to touch someone else in another time. Thank you, Henry David Thoreau. And with that, I welcome Kathy Anderson, Executive Director of the Walden Woods Project, the Sanctuary of Thoreau's Spirit, Legacy, and Land, to the Wildside News. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Sydney.
You know, it's great to have you here. You're so lucky to, you actually spend your time a lot right there at Walden Pond, don't you?
Every day I get to come to work in Walden Woods. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. It's absolutely wonderful. We're at a beautiful facility about a half mile up the hill from Walden Pond in the heart of Thoreau's Walden Woods. And it's just an honor and a pleasure to be able to come and work for a cause you believe in a place that is just so beautiful.
Well, I do consider it literally a sacred place.
As do I.
Yes. You know, his words are naturally carved into every mountain. They echo in the forest. They whisper from the morning mists and sing with the spirit winds that kiss our faces with an approaching storm. He really captured and somehow presented the spirit of life so effectively.
He certainly did. And I think for anyone who has read Walden, they can't help but be changed by that experience. For the book is just so full of just prophetic advice and guidance and challenges to all of us to start thinking about our lives and how best to live our lives. And I think more today than ever before, especially more today than in the times when Thoreau lived, we are facing incredible challenges and decisions about, you know, things that we can do and measures we can take to improve this planet. And, you know, Thoreau just foresaw the future, I think, in a way that few can. And, He's written a book that's more relevant today than it was 150 years ago.
He was such an iconoclast in his time that sometimes it seems as if those people who are most connected to the earth suffer in their own ways. This certainly has been a tradition. He was the many hats that he wore.
Well, he did wear many hats, and he wore them all quite well. In fact, he was at first, you know, he's a graduate of Harvard College, and he graduated in the top third of his class in 1837, and then he returned to Concord, where he taught first in the public school, and then after being reprimanded for not using corporal punishment on his students, he taught at a private school. And then he began to dabble along with several of his more established Concord neighbors, such as Emerson and Hawthorne, and kind of a loosely defined set of philosophical principles called transcendentalism. And he became, you know, a very, very prolific writer. He kept a journal almost every day. There were journal entries. He wrote essays on all types of subjects. He, for me, was first and foremost a naturalist, someone who had a real spiritual and almost mystical connection to nature. And he was also a very good scientist. Toward the latter years of his life, Walden Woods was his laboratory. He went out and he studied exhaustively plants as animals and how seed gets dispersed and new forests spring up. And in fact, what he put forth in his essay Dispersion of Seeds was the plant equivalent of Darwinian principle. It was how forests start and the natural succession of plants and forests. So he had a really important contribution to make to science as well as to philosophy. And of course, he was an early abolitionist. He was a progenitor of the passive resistance movement. As most people know, he spent a night in jail for refusing to pay his poll tax because it went to support indirectly the idea of slavery in this country. So he was a person who believed that each of us has an obligation to stand up for what is right, and he challenged us to have moral fortitude in our lives to do that very thing. That work, Civil Disobedience, influenced everyone from Martin Luther King to the students in Tiananmen Square in China to the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa. All movements, Mohandas Gandhi was influenced by Thoreau's writings as well, all movements that seek to restore rights to humanity, to protest against unfairness. His book, Civil Disobedience, was very influential. In fact, King had a copy of it when he was in the Birmingham jail. So it's really an extraordinary man that we're talking about here, somebody who left his mark on so many important issues.
I've tried to imagine any singular human being outside of Christ or Gandhi, or there's a few people who really have made enormous differences on the planet, but I do believe that Henry David Thoreau is singularly blessed that way.
I agree with you. And, if it's any indication by the popularity of his writings, certainly other people agree too. Walden is, I think, one of the most important and influential books in the history of literature. I would put it, right up there in the top 10.
I totally agree. And by the way, speaking of that, part of the reason we're talking, there's many reasons, but the fact that this is actually the 150th anniversary of the writing and publication of Walden. Let's talk about how it is that the Walden Woods Project, which you're the executive director of, is helping to bring this forward to the public.
Well, we have several exciting opportunities here this summer for the public. The most important, I think, is that the Huntington Library in San Marino, California, has the possession of all 7 drafts of Walden. They've had them since 1918 when Henry Huntington purchased them from another collector. And they have never loaned even a leaf of a manuscript, let alone the entire manuscript. But they have decided to loan the seventh and final manuscript draft of Walden to our organization for the celebration of this sesquicentennial year. And the draft has returned for the first time in over a century right here to Walden Woods, just across the way from where I'm sitting. Our people coming through our library at this very moment having a glimpse of this wonderful book in Thoreau's handwriting. And it's also very interesting because there are passages in this draft that didn't make it into the final book. So it's really interesting to see Thoreau's thought process as he wrote and changed and edited himself this incredible manuscript. So it's on display here from now through September 13th here at the Walden Woods Project's Thoreau Institute. And as I say, we're just a short walk from Walden Pond. And we really encourage people to visit. And we would love to have them have an opportunity to see this manuscript, which is, you know, it's a very, very rare opportunity indeed.
It is. It's a world treasure, I swear. Also, and we're unfortunately running so much out of time here, you have a new book coming out as well.
Thank
and
you.
I'm excited to hear about that.
Well, as you know, Tickner and Fields was the original publisher of Walden, and Tickner and Fields became Houghton Mifflin. And Houghton Mifflin and the Walden Woods Project and photographer Scott Miller are collaborating on a new edition of Walden, which has just been released, with beautiful photographs of Walden Woods. And we encourage people to pick up this book because the photographs are interspersed with Thoreau's immortal words.
Yeah. We're going to have to break in here because we're out of time. Please go to walden.org and learn more about our wonderful world. And we'll continue the story next time on The Wild.